Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. What's that lurking in the woods of your state or national park? Well, it might be something a little more fantastic than you bargained for. Park rangers seem to have creepy jobs that involve them running into a lot of unexplained and downright supernatural things in the woods. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a park ranger story or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. It will be my honor to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Stories like yours to help keep this channel going. Now, let's not play any more games. Let's get into these creepy park ranger stories. I've been with the park rangers out in Washington since I graduated college. During my time here, I've really grown fond of not only my coworkers, but many of our regular park goers. I've always been a very energetic and hyper individual. I've never been shy. Many of the parks in my area are large and very much surrounded by woods. We have plenty of trails and paths for people to use if they wish to explore our beautiful land, but there are also plenty of areas off the beaten path as well. Prior to my experiences out here, I always believed the world was a simple place. I always believed you get what you give in life. I never believed in anything odd or unnatural, so let me tell you how things started. They were really simple, actually. They escalated as time went on. To begin, one morning we were approached by a woman who complained about an odd smell. She said she smelled death. A bit intrigued, but I'll admit, at the time, a bit more amused, I followed her to the area she spoke of. I was probably a foot or two from the spot when I noticed a very odd smell. It didn't smell of death, at least to me. It smelled of roses or flowers of some kind. The lady looked at me as though she was afraid for her life and told me, "See, it is death." Now before you judge me, imagine what you would think in this situation. How would you react? It smelled of flowers, which, while I'll admit, is odd considering the area we were in didn't really have much in the way of flowers, it wasn't insane, as I just assumed. Okay, it's a little windy, and maybe the sweet scent of nature was being carried from elsewhere in the forest. I didn't say as much, but I believe the woman could see on my face that I thought this was a bit amusing. She grew very angry and started screaming about how I shouldn't make fun of her. I assured her I wasn't making fun of her, but my smiles always had a mischievous look to it, and I guess she took it wrong. I honestly wasn't making fun of this woman, but ultimately, when I walked her back to where we started, a very awkward walk by the way, she told my superior how she didn't appreciate being made fun of, and I had to talk to my boss after the fact to explain my side of things. The good news was my boss knows me better than that, so all he did was ask me what was going on and to just check out the scene with me. I explained to him the woman's claims, and then I explained what I smelled. My boss found it odd, but he didn't see any reason to write me up or reprimand me. He just asked me if I were to be in a similar situation, be wary of my smile and how it may be taken. And that was that. A week later, a man comes rushing over during my shift and is crying his eyes out. He can't explain himself when I ask him what is going on. He insists on dragging me by the arm over to an area in the forest. I followed, and upon arrival, there's once again that smell of flowers. The man is older and he is shakily pointing at a spot on a hill above us. He then says, you can't see me? I tell him, of course I can see him, but, like, I don't see what he is pointing to. He starts freaking out and crying. I try to comfort the older gentleman, and I'm not smiling this time. Not only because I remember not to, but also because I'm starting to grow confused. After calming the man a bit, I walk him back to his car where he reassures me he'll be okay and he apologizes for crying. I explain to him it's fine and wish him a wonderful day. 2 days later, the gentleman's name and picture are in the obituary section of the newspaper. If that wasn't strange enough, the same day the woman who had reported me walked up to us and told me, I told you I smelled death. This wouldn't have been much of a thing, but the smile she gave us was just creepy. I know the lady had nothing to do with it, but I still get shivers thinking about it. A few months go by, and I'm patrolling the park. I get to the same area with the smell, and that's when I see the strangest thing. I see myself. I rub my eyes a bit, and look more closely and realize I'm not seeing things. It is the spitting image of myself, that mischievous smile and all, and it's just waving at me. I call up and say, hey. Suddenly, I'm hit with a strong smell of flowers. I reach myself as I try to touch the image before me, but it fades. I'm weirded out for the rest of the day, but I manage to shake the odd sight off for most of my shift. Later that night, I head home and make dinner before passing out early. I feel oddly sleepy and can't fight the weight of my own eyelids. Sometime in the middle of the night, I hear a loud banging at my door. I awake in a shock and jump up, grabbing my gun before heading to investigate the noise. The last thing I remember was my door being wide open like someone had kicked it in. I looked outside and see myself in the distance, with a creepy smile, just waving. Next thing I know, I feel something hit me from behind and I see blood before passing out completely. I woke up in the hospital. By some stroke of luck, a neighbor was coming to get me for a completely unrelated reason. They saw my door and found me bleeding out. I had been robbed and someone had shot me in the back. I was clinically dead for a full 2 minutes before I was able to be revived. During that time, I don't remember seeing anything, but I am grateful to my neighbor for finding me and to the doctors for not giving up on me. I'm not entirely sure how to explain myself or how I saw myself before I got hit. I also haven't received complaints about the odd scent of death, flowers, or anything else since. I'm a female park ranger who works in California. I've been with the park rangers for roughly 20 years now, and one of the strangest things that have ever happened to me occurred during my 8th year with my team. We are all a pretty tight-knit, close group. We spend a lot of time together working, and we consider one another like family. So, when one of us passes, we all take it rather hard. That's just what happened shortly before everything got weird. To get to the point, one of our rangers was found dead, a self-inflicted gunshot wound from the chin through the skull. It was sickening to hear about and quite a shock to everyone involved. Still, nothing was as scary as to what happens next. I want to say 2 to 3 weeks after our friend's death, another one of our team started growing erratic emotionally. She was, in all fairness, quite fond of the man who had took his life, and it was understandable that she would feel the way she did. I stayed with her a few nights, and over the time, she seemed sad but a bit more stable. A month goes by and she begins to cry the man's name. I'm not sharing his name for privacy reasons, in the middle of our shift. She is doing this over the radio. She starts asking why suddenly we just hear screaming and then there's this distinct thud. I describe this as a thud, but it was clearly the sound of someone falling and their bones breaking. We arrived as quickly as we could to the scene. My boss was there first and he quickly stopped me and tried to turn me away. I saw her though. I saw what was left of her shattered body and I remember breaking down and crying. Yes, she was a little sad, but so was everyone. She had calmed down a lot, and I thought that she would be okay since I had stayed a few nights with her. I didn't expect her to throw herself from a cliff. Unfortunately, though, it would get worse. We talked to the sheriffs and explained all we knew. The park was closed for the next week or two, and during that time we were told to go home. We weren't even going to be given paid time off, which wasn't normal, but the circumstances weren't normal as well. I was grateful, but I also felt terrible. I couldn't understand why this was happening or anything about it. I was never one to believe in taking my own life no matter how bad things were going, but I was also never one to judge someone who did. I've encountered suicides with family members prior to these things happening, so it wasn't like I hadn't dealt with the tragedy of it all, but it never gets easier, really. Anyway, our time away ended, and upon our return, things seemed as normal as they could be. The park was open again, and we were going on about our daily duties. A couple of weeks later, I was brought into my boss's office where he asked about the other two members who had passed. The questions he was asking were very strange, though. He said he wanted to better understand why they did what they did. I told him I didn't feel comfortable talking about it. I would answer anything I could, but that was something that I didn't really want to talk about. He mentioned me staying with the woman we'll call D, who passed away prior, and asked if she said anything about odd noises when things were quiet or hearing weird voices. I shook my head and grew concerned. I asked my boss if he was experiencing anything like that, to which he laughed and said no. Feeling off about the whole situation, I informed him if he needed help with anything or if he was feeling down, we were here for him, as we were all family. He smiled and told me thank you, and that was the end of the conversation. I was getting ready to leave a few hours later when I heard shouting from my boss's office. Listening more closely, he was telling someone to shut up. I probably shouldn't have, but I burst into his office and asked him if everything was all right. He looked shocked but immediately composed himself and smiled, saying he was fine. I told him I heard shouting. He denied it ever happened. I didn't believe him, and looking around, he didn't appear to have a phone out or be on his main office phone. I asked if he needed anything, and he said no, he was fine. Still looking around, he didn't appear to have a phone, so I didn't know. I was concerned, but I wasn't really able to do anything about it. The next morning, I awoke to a phone call from the front office saying we would be closed. I asked why, and all I was told is that they couldn't speak about it at the time. The news basically gave it away a few hours later. My boss had committed a murder-suicide. He had killed his wife and then himself immediately after. The worst part was the brutality of it all. He had used scissors to stab his wife multiple times and eventually slit his own wrist and bled out in the chair next to her. When the park finally reopened, I will be honest and say I was of the mind of I was going to quit that day, I think. I didn't, however, and there were no more suicides within our family. That isn't exactly where it ended, though. There was an odd suicide from the detective investigating my boss's suicide. I know suicide in itself is contagious, but I keep thinking back to the questions my boss was asking the night before his murder-suicide. I don't wish to speak much more on it, but part of me believes due to the strange nature of the suicides and the fact that at the very least, the detectives should have been perfectly clear-headed, it's odd that most of the suicides seem to involve people discovering or on the scene of said suicides. I'm not sure how to explain, and I'm probably explaining my thoughts terrible, but regardless, it was a very strange and sad series of events. I would like to add, if you ever feel like taking your life, please get help before it's too late. If you look in the description of this video, you'll be able to find a hotline for suicide prevention. My name is Timothy, and I work with park rangers somewhere in the Midwest. I won't share much more than that as I do not wish to draw people anywhere near where I work. My reasonings for this are due to several strange happenings around my workplace. The first thing you need to understand is that where I work, we have a substantially sized, old, abandoned schoolhouse around the woods in our park. It's off limits to the public, but it has been the scene of several odd disappearances, suicides, and also some unexplainable deaths. I won't get super deep into the history of the place, as I'd be typing this out for hours if I did, and I don't have that kind of time, nor do I wish to do all that typing. Anyway, one morning, while on shift, I went to check the old schoolhouse, while on my morning patrol. Quite often on these patrols, I'll clean up trash and run off homeless folk. As you can imagine, checking the schoolhouse is rather important to this procedure, as it tends to attract the homeless from time to time, who, for some reason or another, just assume we'll be too lazy to check for them there. Well, they are wrong, and I am one of the people who checks the schoolhouse constantly. On this particular morning, I heard crying coming from the schoolhouse. Thinking it was a homeless person, or even a transient, I turned my flashlight on and started searching the premises to see if I found someone around. While walking around the first floor, I noticed someone sitting at a desk and crying. I go shine my light on them and call out, but I stop when I notice as I shine my light on them, they vanish. The crying, however, can still be heard and is now echoing through the halls. I quickly look back at the area the woman was sitting at, and I saw her again. Shining my light on her made her vanish, but I didn't think much of it. At that point, I was more of a skeptic and figured it was my eyes playing tricks on me or some weird optical illusion or something along those lines. I called out to the person, "Miss, I'm with the park rangers. I'm going to have to ask you to leave." The crying stopped. There was this suffocating feeling of dread when I heard a scream so loud it left my ears ringing for the next several hours after the fact. I dropped my flashlight and it went out. When I picked it back up and checked the thing, it flickered on again, and as I looked around, I no longer saw the woman. I was confused and more than a little freaked out by this, but again, I'm a skeptic, so I just kind of finished searching the schoolhouse and then went on my way. My ears were still ringing for much of the remainder of my shift, but this passed by the morning. The next day I saw the woman, or at least her back, in the window of the schoolhouse. I remember approaching the window slowly and then tapping on it. It was at this moment I watched her vanish. I'm not sure how to explain that one, but I went and investigated the school again anyway. I never found any sign of a woman once inside, but I did find a door to a basement. It was deep within the halls, and it had claw marks all over it. The door was heavy, and I made it a point not to speculate too much on what the claw marks were. I mean, it was a wooden door, however heavy it may have been, and this school had been abandoned for years, so I instantly assumed it was some animal of some kind or maybe kids. Not really a large reach in logic if you ask me, but anyway, the rest of the search turned up nothing. Again, nothing too off about the shift, and it stayed that way until later that night when I went home and tried to sleep. I want to preface this with the fact that I was at the time under the assumption that dreams I had this night were mostly caused by my constant search of the school and not by anything strange per se. Still, I would also like to state that these dreams were disturbingly real in how they felt, and upon waking from them, I was sweating despite the fact it was probably 20 degrees outside. Anyway, the first dream I had, I found myself in the school. There was children's laughter, and I could see the woman I often see in the school during my shift. I can never see her face, but she is teaching these kids, and things are relatively peaceful. Over time, there's a loud grinding noise, and the lights in the school seem to flicker. Every time they flicker, a child disappears. I grew tense and remember a point where the kids would get up and run. The teacher disappears, and as I follow the kids through the school, some of them look at me and scream for help. This is a dream, mind you, and it feels so real. The kids are staring at me, and I remember this strange need to keep the lights on, or the kids in the well-lit rooms would disappear. I start trying to do this, but eventually the light shut off completely. There is a loud sound of screaming, and the most disturbing growling I've ever heard. If you can call this guttural noise growling at all, that is. I start rushing around as one of the kids grabs onto my hand, and I try the lights in different classrooms. I can hear more screaming and the sound of flesh being ripped from the bone. I freak out and I feel the final child yanked from my grip. There are no lights in this strange silence, and there is a deep voice, but it's played like a backward tape. I don't understand what it says, and then I wake up sweating and terrified. The skeptic in me is laughing and telling me it was just a dream, dude. Still, I'm unnerved at how real this all felt. Unnerved enough that I ask one of my coworkers, Jason, to go do the old schoolhouse patrol for me today, under the guise that I had something else to take care of. Jason seemed eager. I assumed because the morning patrol is considered fairly easy, to be honest, but I'm not entirely sure why. A few hours later, he reports back that he found a homeless dude, but that guy was fully cooperative and left what asked. A couple of days go by and I'm back to the morning, and I'm going to monitor the school myself while on morning patrol. Jason stopped me one Friday morning and asked if I'd had any weird dreams about the school since looking into it. I told him yes, but I mostly figured it was just because there are a lot of general duties that I do there, specifically to clear the school out each morning. He smiled and said, "Yeah, that makes sense," before moving on with his duties. I was going to ask him what he meant by that. He clearly had a dream as well, but I figured there's no sense and I continued my duties. Ever since my dream a few nights ago, I always felt uneasy when I checked the school out. Still, nothing insane happened. There were always odd noises, but I figured it was just squirrels or something. Looking back, I'm sure this was the skeptic in me trying to comfort me and less just being skeptical. I get through my shift and go to bed that night comfortable in the idea that it was the weekend and I had a couple of days off, where I wouldn't even have to think about that schoolhouse, right? I wish that were the case, but all weekend I had those terrible dreams about that place. One of the dreams was the first dream I had, and it would often happen every night, repeating. Still, some nights I'd have multiple nightmares after that one. I'd remember on that Saturday hearing a banging from behind the wood door with claw marks, a muffled screaming and this nauseating view of the door being panned in on and shaking. It was like watching a movie, but the director was really great at tripping your head out with visuals. The one that got me the most was the one that took place on that Sunday night. I'd already had the messed up normal dream I have with the kids vanishing one by one, but this was followed by a nightmare that I have not ever had before that I can't fully explain. I see the school, I hear screams, and I'm brought behind the door with the claw marks. This leads through many hallways that seems to get deeper down into the ground. Eventually, I arrive at a mound of dirt sitting in a room with four lit candles. It is here I can hear pounding in the dirt, which looks fresh. It looks like it's shifting a tiny bit as well. I can hear someone screaming for help. This happens again and again and again, but their screams are muffled. I begin to feel the suffocating air in the place. I feel like I'm losing my breath, and then, just as I feel like I might die from choking for air, I wake up, coughing and panicking, until I realize it was just another nightmare, and I calm myself enough to breathe normally again. It is now that my rational, skeptical brain is telling me it's okay. You just had a trouble breathing because you were having a bad dream. Maybe you had been sleeping at an odd angle or had some phlegm in your throat. The problem for me is I'm having a hard time believing my skeptical mind now. I'm very shaken by the nightmares, the latest one in particular, and I spend the rest of my night, from roughly 3 in the morning till 6 when I leave for work, with the lights on and watching some TV. That morning I report into work, and while there I start looking for Jason. I don't like having to do this, but I want him to take my watch over the school, even if just for one day. I look around for Jason and continue looking after a bit. I get a little worried and I ask my supervisor if they've seen Jason today. She says no, he hasn't reported in. So I think, great, he's probably sick. I guess this means I get to have creepy school fun time all my lonesome today. I begin my morning patrol, and as I do, I'm cursing myself, saying, I would have gone with Jason, but I could have used him with me on patrol. Mondays were a short staff due to scheduling, and our shift times were so spread out, so other than my supervisor, who is always busy, I didn't really have anyone this early to go with me during, you know, this patrol. I shrugged this off, and upon arriving at the school, I reluctantly began my search. All is unusually quiet and eerie. At the moment, I don't hear the wind, I don't hear nature, and I don't hear any of the normal shifting and creaking inside the school, or any of the unexplainable otter noises. Though it's quiet, I can't help but feel this quiet is more unnerving and unsettling than the entirety of the other days combined. Have you ever had a quiet that was so unnatural that you just felt this dread lurking over you? That's how I felt as I searched this school once again. I remember nervously chuckling to myself just to hear noise and making a joke about how it's okay. Any ghost or creepy things could say something or do something right now. There was silence in response. I had searched everywhere within the school except one final place I needed to check off, the clawed door. I made my way down and eventually stood there, motionless. There were letters and drawings all over the door. It looked like red paint, but I did a more thorough investigation just to be sure. In time, I did eventually find an open paint can and paintbrush in the same color. Relieved, I looked around to be sure no one was here, and soon took the paint can and set it outside. I went back shortly after to examine the door. The door wouldn't normally budge. It was always stuck, but to be safe, I went ahead and tried it anyway. Sure enough, it was still stuck. Thinking nothing of it, I turned and headed toward the exit when I heard a very loud and distinct scream for help. I turned and listened closely. There was definitely a muffled screaming now. I radioed my supervisor and told her we needed to get inside the door in the schoolhouse that was normally stuck. I informed her I heard screaming. She knew the door I spoke of and immediately came over with me. We were able to force the door open, luckily. Wandering deeper into the place with flashlights, we eventually came upon a single room. This room was lit by four candles and was in the center. There was this big mound of what looked like to be rather fresh dirt that shifted, as it had in my nightmares. There was a muffled scream for help and the sound of pounding, so my supervisor got some shovels and we began digging. It didn't take much time before we hit a thud. It was here we found a coffin, and we began wedging our shovels in until we got under the nails. The screaming was very clear and distinct now, and we used the shovels like a crowbar until we popped the top of the coffin. Strangely, there was no one inside. There was nothing inside. My supervisor and I kind of stood there, confused and silent for a second. And to be honest, there was just nothing inside. We were so confused, we were so shocked. It didn't make any sense. Things, however, were going to get more strange. I went home that night and felt myself somewhat shaking at the idea what my supervisor and I had experienced. Not even the skeptical half of my brain could form any sort of rational explanation for what we witnessed and experienced that day. I tried to sleep, and in between nightmares, most of which were repeats and stuff like that, I got very, very little sleep. The next morning, my supervisor asked me if I had seen or heard from Jason. I told her I had not. She explained she was going to check his house if I was okay with doing the morning patrol on my own. I said, yeah, I'd do it, and asked if everything was alright. She told me this was going to be the second day Jason had no called, no showed. This was very unusual for him, and he was almost never sick, was very reliable, and he loved his job. The few times he was going to be out, he would let us know the second he knew he was going to be out, be it a vacation or him being sick. I went about my day and lurked around the school for a bit, checking it thoroughly. I hated doing this at this point. I was sick of the strange nightmares I was having, and even more sick of having to check this place at all. Still, I loved and still do love my job, and I wasn't going to let this really weird or even downright creepy happenings at a school stop me from doing my job. Luckily, nothing happened this time. There were odd noises once again, but nothing crazy. At the end of my shift, I noticed my supervisor wasn't in. I called her and asked if everything was alright. She said she was following up on Jason and that he was nowhere to be found. His girlfriend hadn't seen him in a few days, and it was all very weird. My boss also informed me that they were going to file a missing person report on him, and then she said I should go home and get some rest. Internally, I found it unnerving Jason was missing, and the thought of getting rest seemed less likely with every passing day and every odd occurrence. I tried to sleep that night, but the nightmares were too much. I woke up to hear screaming. I could no longer tell if it was just in my head or if it was real. I looked around my home, and when I found nothing, I went back to bed. The next morning, I clocked in and went straight to the schoolhouse. I saw the woman with no face, and as I got closer, she faded, but a handprint still sat in the window. So much weird stuff had been happening at this point, I didn't feel afraid or even close to unnerved. I just continued looking into the school itself and went about my day. Later that afternoon, I spoke with my boss, who informed me that they had had no word on Jason still. She also mentioned she would have to look for a new hire in the meantime. She made a point to say Jason would still have a spot on the team if he returned, but we were already understaffed and we needed help. Very bad. I didn't think much of the fact that she was looking for more help. She wasn't wrong, and I was more worried about where Jason had vanished to. That night I heard screaming. They were louder, and they lasted longer after waking. It was Friday and about 2 a.m. I was looking forward to the upcoming weekend. I was ready to try to actually get some real rest. I was going to enjoy every second of it, and I even asked if I could take Monday off in advance, to which my supervisor agreed. Nothing like a 3-day weekend in your future to perk you up, you know? And that is how I felt as I reported in Friday morning. I went through my day, spooky school and all, and the second time, this was a go. I went home and did my best to relax. In my head, I was thinking, I'll just avoid all the thought of the schoolhouse or work or no worries, nothing about Jason or anything. I'm just going to try my best to chill. Sadly, reality doesn't work that way. I was watching TV late Friday night when out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw someone. I got up and looked around the place and found no one, but I kept a wary eye out just in case I happened upon someone else in time. As I was about to sit down in my chair, I thought I saw someone again, out of the corner of my eye. I decided this must be a sign. I really need to get away, and so I got a small bag, packed it, and headed to the next town over to a decent hotel, and stayed there for the rest of the night. I still had nightmares, but I slept decently enough. Saturday, I decided to stay one more night. The next morning, I awoke in my truck parked outside. I freaked out upon walking, and called the hotel, who said I made a point to pay what was left and turn in my key and check out. I wasn't sure how I drove to the park or why I would drive to the park, but I headed home, completely shaken, that Sunday morning. I spent much of my day trying to calm myself down, and that night I couldn't sleep at all. I kept hearing things, and sometimes I wasn't sure that was a dream or what was a reality. I awoke to it being 2 a.m. on Monday morning. I was sick and tired of dealing with weird nightmares and the stress of everything that was going on. I, fully awake and aware this time, got in my truck and drove to the park. I shut off my truck and locked it and headed to the woods to check out the school. I went fully armed with a shotgun in case anything or anyone crosses with me. The school was much scarier at night, and after searching it thoroughly, I concluded no one living was in there anyway. At this point, I wasn't sure what to do or why I was at the school, just that it haunted my dreams constantly and I needed some peace. I hoped that I would find something that would bring me peace in this horrid place. Sadly, the night was quiet. The school seemed empty, and I decided it was time to go home, at around 5 a.m. to get some sleep. I slept hard that morning. I don't know if it was due to extreme exhaustion or what, but I didn't dream at all. I woke up at 4 a.m. to a phone call from my boss. She was just checking in with me and asking if everything was okay and if I would be at work the next day. I assured her I would be there and asked her if they ever found Jason. She spoke with disappointment when she said no. I told her I would talk the next day and hung up. The remainder of the night I had dinner and tried to sleep. It was hard to sleep as I had been sleeping all day, but I eventually drifted off. I awoke Tuesday morning strangely well rested and headed to work. The peace was gone when I did my morning patrol. Inside the school, in the basement, I found Jason's body. He was missing his eyes, his tongue, and his heart. His body was hung from a rope. It was ruled a homicide for obvious reasons, but there was no real forensic evidence to lead to who had committed this murder. It happened the night before, and underneath his body was written, "Now he sleeps. Now he knows peace." I have no explanation for who killed my friend and coworker. I don't have a logical reasoning for it. I don't like to speculate on it. Jason's death hit us hard, and although I thought about leaving, I chose to stay at my park when my friend died. I still work here today, and the nightmares still happen. It is my belief that something evil lurks here. I'm not saying that something is the same something that killed Jason. I am merely saying that it is a negative place, and if it were up to me, the schoolhouse would be demolished. Probably the strangest experiences I've ever had as a park ranger were when I was still a ranger out in North Carolina. I've since transferred to New York, but at the time, I was fairly new to the job, and while out and about, I saw a man who looked to be dressed in Civil War garbs, working with his gun. I found this odd as the man seemed slightly translucent, but I definitely could see him in the middle of the day. I was weirded out by this, but I also had heard of many hauntings around the area, and so I figured maybe I'd caught a glimpse of a ghost. If I sound nonchalant about this, it's only because I'm not easily startled or surprised by things. I've never been easy to spook or scare, and things out of the ordinary aren't things I typically dwell on. Anyway, I've also witnessed other strange things, including a full-on battle. Late one night while prepping for a Halloween event we were doing, I noticed several soldiers in the distance firing at one another, and some even attempting to stab one another. They were all translucent, and it was obvious they were ghosts. I remember talking to my supervisor and asking if he saw what I was seeing. He simply smiled and said, "I wouldn't worry about it. Blood-soaked history tends to leave its stains behind." I nodded and continued on about my work. Other weird things I've seen are the ghost of families and some normal, one or two with members who were clearly filled with bullet holes or, in one case, even missing their head. I watched a man fire a ghostly cannon at a distance, and even watched someone giving a speech, but I couldn't hear what they were saying. If all of this sounds a bit weird or odd, I agree 100% it is. I'm not sure how to explain it outside of saying it was probably the ghost of past eras, and many of those are probably from the Civil War. I don't really have a firm stance on ghosts. I guess I believe in them, as I've clearly seen my fair share, but I don't really think much of it. Anyway, I work in New York now, and after transferring for a better job opportunity, I'm still a park ranger, but I have not really seen too much strange stuff up here. I have stories of strange things I've seen from up here as well, but like I said, not really too many. Thanks for listening to these creepy park ranger stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day in all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a park ranger story or something different, be sure to submit that at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours will help this channel keep going. These stories honestly were pretty creepy. They had me scratching my head, and it's so sad to hear about all these suicides. As I said at the end of that story, there will be the number to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline down in the description down below. Hopefully, that can help somebody. I appreciate you guys always dwelling in the swamp with me. Without you guys, the swamp does not continue to expand. I appreciate that. Thank you guys very, very much. If you aren't aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories from iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and pretty much all the other major platforms you can find your favorite podcasts at. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.